If you had a way to replicate yourself through AI or let the marketing team on your behalf go out and present you in a different way to new opportunities, I think that would be huge.
This is Digital Marketer.
Hey everyone, I'm Mark DeGrasse with Digital Marketer, and today we have Mike Chudy on the podcast. We're talking sales. So welcome, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
I know that there's a lot of demands that salespeople need that marketing could maybe help with, so I thought we could talk about that and then kind of lead into what marketing could do for you guys when it comes to Q1, which is launching off the year right. So let's just start with some of the difficulties that you guys have as salespeople towards the end of every year.
The talk lately that I've been having with the teams that I work with is, you know, time kills deals. So how do we show some urgency when people are trying to push off? And so there's different tactics that can be utilized from a salesperson to move projects along. But the big thing to think about is ultimately, the salesperson has their process they're trying to follow. And so they have to evaluate, where are we in the process? What actions are we trying to drive towards the close? And then from a marketer's perspective is how can we support along the way, along the journey? And then when you get towards the holidays, one of the tactics to use when you get the let's just wait, you have to really dig into what are we waiting for? Like, what are you really trying to push off or hesitate? Is it there's just too much on my plate and I can't make that decision now? Is it we don't have the internal resources that are needed and I'm scared that we'll fail on this decision? And so if you can start to ask those questions, I understand that you're asking for more time, but usually it's not that. Usually it's something else. And so how do we get to that root cause?
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Because I know when people are trying to pitch me services and I can put it off for any reason, like, oh, well, the holidays are coming up. Like, I don't know my budget for next year. I got to wait and see how this year turns out and then we'll make a decision. So do you have just kind of one-liners that you give to people when they say, I can't make the decision until January. Please call me back then.
Well, the challenger sales methodology is the better questions that you ask, the better answers that you'll get. And one of the core ones is why? Why do we need to wait? And most salespeople are scared to ask that question. And so if you can get to the why somebody is hesitating, making the decision, and they're not necessarily saying no, which is almost worse. I'd rather hear no, so that I can handle that versus the, I'm not sure what they need and I'm guessing. And so if you ask why, and you can do it a number of different ways, but you can even be direct. Hey, are you afraid that you don't have the resources to get this deal done? And if that's the case, let me tell you how we come by and support you on the resource side. And what you may not even have understood in our process when we get to a go and we say, hey, it's time to implement this solution, how we come in and support you in that. And so getting to that why usually helps with some of those objections that you're getting.
Nice. Do you mind if we kind of role play it for the marketers?
We can give it a go. Yeah.
All right. So let's say you're the marketer or the marketing agency salesperson. You're trying to close a client that's, trying to put it off until January, needs the marketing services because their sales weren't very good for the beginning or throughout the entire year. And that's why they contacted you in the first place. And I'm going to try to, put off the conversation until January.
Perfect.
So just do a quick made-up pitch for the services.
Let's do it. So, Mark, originally when we started talking, is you mentioned that you weren't getting the discovery that you needed from your prospective clients. And the reason being that you just didn't feel that your website was up to par with communicating your directives and what you're trying to achieve. So, originally we talked about you wanted to do this in fourth quarter, and now I know you're trying to push a little bit. Is there a reason that we wouldn't do it now?
Well, we just don't know the final sales numbers. December hasn't even happened yet, so it might pick up a little bit more than we expect, and we're still trying to see the results of our Black Friday sale, which we think is going to go pretty good. But I don't know my budget for next year yet. So we're thinking that we'll want to really, really get on it in Q1.
So I'll just go back to what originally we talked about with hitting your goals. If we put those off today, we're going to be another quarter behind. And I don't want to see you have to face your team and talk about that. So if we could push and hit the go button now on this implementation, do you think that if we delayed terms, payment terms by 1 month, that would help you in getting this moving forward?
You know what? That would actually help a lot. But honestly, you know, it's part that, and it's part, you know, we have the holidays coming up. You know, I'm a little worried that we're not going to be able to dedicate the time to actually implement what you're selling, or give it the full attention that it deserves. So how can we handle that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing we haven't talked about is upon implementation, we actually put a team on site with your staff for the first few days on kickoff, and make sure that we both understand what resources are going to be necessary so that we can move you faster through implementation. So had we talked about that? Did you, or were you aware of those services?
No, I actually just wanted to use the excuse.
Okay.
All right, that was good. I love the deferring the payment thing, because that's like, oh my gosh, that actually really gets rid of that objection like immediately.
It's one of those levers that you can pull in negotiation to know, hey, I don't want to discount my price, but there's some other things that I can utilize to be able to get a deal across the line.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's one of those ways.
Well, and I think that, you know, getting started now and this year, well, whenever you can start as soon as possible, that's right, much better for making the sale. But, you know, for a lot of companies, well, oh yeah, Q1 will really get on. It's like, no, you're going to have tons of stuff to do then too.
there's going to be so many new priorities that come with the beginning of the year. And we can even talk about that. Like, what does it mean to hit the new year, and then it's New Year's resolutions and all the goals that are involved, and then all of a sudden leadership is putting more strain on the department, the marketing department, the sales department, and maybe new initiatives that they haven't even talked about in fourth quarter. So
that's a good point.
That's one of those things that has to be considered.
Yeah. Well, and I think if you're not launching what you're planning on doing next year by December, right, you're going to be in trouble anyways. So
right.
You know, I think that's great. Just addressing the concern, like, why did you contact me in the first place? Oh, you wanted to have a good next year, and so you wanted to start this process. So that's, I love that approach.
Well, and I'll just say that, you know, with sales teams, a lot of times they say, hey, I'm having trouble closing a deal.
Mm.
And I'll go back to, you know, when we look at the sales process, to be honest, a lot of times they don't do discovery and qualification well on the front end of the deal. And so when you can bring up the things that you learned early on, why are we even speaking in the first place? And if I've qualified you well as a salesperson, and marketing has helped bring, you know, leads in that were pre-qualified to the salesperson, then I can ensure that I'm telling that story along the way in the process. So when we get to close, we both know why we're here. We both know that there's a need and that we can provide the solution. So it solves a lot of those problems if you handle the early stuff well,
yeah. Well, I get the close if you can, because who knows what the heck's going to happen like 60 days from now. Now, in that regard, so let's say that you're a sales team or a sales manager. You want to hit, you know, Q1 really good, and you want some marketing materials to help support that effort. What do you think is an effective way for you to communicate with the marketing team to get the actual materials that the salespeople need? Because I know for a lot of people, it's marketing has their own concept, and really for marketing, they are all about leads, but they're doing brand support too and just awareness. So that's usually what we'll default to. Like, hey, we'll just build the brand. Like, we'll figure out the sales part later. Do you have like a set of you know, assets that you would love to see when you know, are kind of building up your plan for next year?
Yeah, I mean, I go back to, so there's frameworks, right? There's frameworks. I'm in particular on the sales side. So we're starting with ultimately sales process, understanding the ideal client profile, all the things that marketing does and leads right into the sales side. I'm a big believer in selling is the best story always wins. And so you think about the story that we're telling, and marketing starts with the storytelling. And who are we telling the story to? Who's the hero? Who's the guide in this story, right? And how do we tell a story of reinvention or redemption, and putting the client in that place, and building that customer journey with the customer as the focal point along the path. And so it starts with marketing and building up that story, building the message, and then refining that through the sales process. So the handoff is so important to understand, hey, sales team, here's the story that we're telling to the marketplace. Here's where we want you to pick up and take off with this. And then we'll need your feedback to understand, is it resonating? And if it's not, how do we need to pivot or reposition, whether that's marketing collateral, whether that's website, whether that's whatever the outbound is, right, that's occurring. And then it's the sales team's job to not only effectively tell the story, but to really dig in and find out if it's not resonating, like what is, and then get that feedback back to the marketing team.
I love that. Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, marketers, you make your customer avatar, and then you speak to that person all the time. But, you know, the avatar for a marketing team might not be the same avatar for, you know, the sales team. And also just the materials, because, you know, a lot of times marketers will just default to what they know. You know, if they do a lot of podcasts, then we're going to do a lot of podcasts. If they do a lot of video, they'll do a lot of video. If they do a lot of, you know, print marketing materials, they'll do a lot of that. Hey, everyone. I wanted to quickly interrupt the podcast for a special announcement. If you're listening to this podcast because you want to become a better marketer, then I want to share with you what I believe to be the most comprehensive digital marketing program on the market today. It's called the Digital Marketing Mastery Certification. You'll learn to leverage the tools and channels to predictably and profitably drive awareness, leads, sales, and referrals. Everything you need to know to become a true master of digital marketing. We'll take an in-depth look at the core digital marketing competencies, including content, email, social media, community, digital advertising, data and optimization, and more. After earning your Digital Marketing Strategist Certificate, you'll have the tools to effectively reach your target audience through a full-scope marketing strategy. Get started today at digitalmarketer.com/strategycert. Have you found a way to communicate kind of like the specific type of media that would be useful for, say, your sales prospects? Because it won't be the same as what marketers think most of the time.
Yeah, it's so industry dependent. Mm. And since I've worked with a lot of different industries, it's different for industrial manufacturing than it is for cybersecurity and SaaS or AI and all in between. So that varies a lot. What you have to think about that kind of threads its way through in that storytelling is what questions are the prospects asking? And so if you can hone in, and I give salespeople homework of write down every single question you're asked, even if it's one that you're asked over and over and over, because we need to ensure that our messaging addresses those questions, or perhaps those questions are objections into the process. And so the more we can learn by the questions that are asked, the better job marketing can be answering those before they even, you know, reach out to us in the first place.
No, that's cool.
So
in terms of just communicating that information to the prospect, have you found that, I don't know, it's industry specific, but have you found that like videos are better than articles or white papers or?
Yeah, I think that's proving true, right? With social media in general, that, I mean, short form video right now is kind of where a lot of people need to be and want to be. And at the same time, you look at LinkedIn. So LinkedIn has 950 million users now across the world. There's less than 4% that actively post anything. And even a fraction of those are doing video. Myself included, I haven't even picked up the video. It's hard to do. But if you can do it effectively and do it well, you are going to set yourself apart from any competitor that's out there and be able to spread that message and tell your story in a way that nobody else is doing. I was talking to a client earlier today, and they said, you know, it's amazing. They're doing more and more outbound marketing, and they find competitors are now stealing some of the verbiage that they're using. And they say sometimes it doesn't even match their product, but it's just they're trying to,
keep up.
And so if you can be one of those early thought leaders within an industry or a niche, or even if your niche is old, again, I spend a lot of years in manufacturing, and stuff wasn't really being reinvented. But the stories that could be told, and whether those were case studies or, you know, different ways to use a product, that's where people would really look to learn from and become a thought leader within a market that might be saturated and old. So different ways to set yourself apart for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just like you said, it just speaks to the right person, which is the biggest thing. Now, I did do a presentation recently, and I used a new AI tool. Actually, I don't know how old it is. It's called HeyGen. But what they allow you to do is make an instant avatar. So you can basically just sit in front of a camera, you talk to the camera for 2.5 minutes, and then it creates a you avatar.
Okay.
And then what you could do is actually just type in the words, and then your avatar of you will move like you're talking the words that you typed. So my concept was that instead of salespeople constantly asking for more materials from the company, or I'm sure, you know, when you're trying to justify, you know, whatever you're claiming, You might just grab an article or a white paper from wherever and send that. And the problem with that is then you're sending your customer to somebody else, which is not what you want to do.
Yes.
So I was thinking if you had these salesperson avatars, the marketing team could actually just make you say whatever and then have you send the video. Do you think that would be helpful?
I think it's a fascinating use case for sure. And you know, a great salesperson, their limitation is time. Mm. There's not enough of their time to be able to go and find new deals. And so that opportunities need to be dispersed within a team. And if you had a way to replicate yourself through AI or let the marketing team on your behalf go out and present you in a different way to new opportunities, I think that would be huge.
Ah, okay. Well, I think that might be something we could set up. I'll probably write an article about that. Because really, if you just record it and say, hey, we're going to have the whole team come in, you're going to talk to the camera for, you know, 3 minutes, and then we'll make any material you want to support whatever you're claiming, and it'll be delivered by you, which means you could say, like, okay, here's the main objective that people have. Here's the material you'll send to, you know, explain why your product or service meets that need.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you look at Instagram and ManyChat, you know, where, you know, the goal to sell through Instagram is really through the DMs. Well, you can't handle perhaps hundreds, maybe thousands of DMs, depending upon who you are and what you're selling, but ManyChat can do it for you on your behalf, right? Using AI technology, and it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So, but it's an interesting use case for sure.
Yeah, well, I think AI could start to cross that barrier of like the custom content that salespeople probably need and what's actually possible because, ideally you're not, doing a new pitch every single time. And if I was your marketing manager, I would say, okay, guys, give me a list of your common objectives or objections, and then give me, a list of information that would be useful that you would share all the time with your clients. And then we'll generate all that content for you. And now you could just send them this content as branded and, it could be even be you. So there you go.
Very cool.
All right. So I think we just solved the sales marketing divide.
I love it.
Now, just in that regard, so let's get back to Q1. So everybody's launching Q1. Sales team wants to make a big push. What would you say would be the top three? Sorry, I'm trying to get as specific as possible.
No, it's good. You're making me think. So
what do you think would be the top three assets you would want from a sales perspective? Because what I usually see marketing teams do, especially when they're like, oh, we're going to support, sales, we'll just make a cool branded commercial video that they could send to people and kind of get the ball rolling for some interest. Do you have examples like that, that you would just say like, hey, here's a default list of stuff that salespeople need?
Well, I'll give you something interesting to think about that I've been talking about lately. So when you think about sales process, right, and marketing isn't always concerned necessarily with each stage. Maybe there are 7 stages in a sales process for an enterprise B2B organization. But the sales process and a sales cycle might be 6 months long for a larger product that somebody's selling, or maybe it's, services sometimes are a longer sales cycle. And we think about the duration of that, and you think about the stages that you can take a customer through, but sometimes you don't think about how many actual touch points there are within that process with the client. There could be, it might be a 6-month process, but there might be 50 touch points with the client, and there might be 6 decision makers in a matrixed organization, depending upon how large they are. Yeah. And so from a Q1 planning perspective, that's when a lot of people, hey, let's take a step back, let's reset, let's refocus on this year, what we're trying to accomplish and set our goals and do that. Some of that happens fourth quarter, but sometimes fourth quarter is so busy trying to push for the year end that the reset really happens after the first of the year. So if marketing can come alongside sales and say, let's really look at the analytics of the past year and say, hey, we've got CRM, we've got good data. Let's really look at how many touch points there were and where maybe the largest amount of those touch points occurred. Let's say the proposal was sent, but it took 16 follow-ups and changes and revisions to the proposal. And that can be normal in some environments, but how can marketing support to maybe, you may not have less touch points, but you might be able to shorten it up if marketing says, hey, we're the ones that are in charge of proposal revisions for whatever reason. If we can turn those faster so that the sales team can then get back faster, we can start speeding up some of these decisions because, again, time kills deals. And if we can shorten that cycle in even just by a fraction of the duration of the time, I think it could really help out. So that's one thing to think about, or at least approach from a reset, start to relook at standpoint. The other thing is you have to go back to, again, what are the analytics telling us? So if you've got good data on marketing collateral or downloads of case studies and white papers or whatever you're offering, or even if you're doing, you know, the videos like you talked about, seeing what really captured attention, what was actually creating, you know, marketing qualified leads for sales and things like that, that we can do, hey, this one was 10x of every other video that we did. Let's double down on this content and do more of this, right? Like, so I think sometimes we're so busy in our year that we're pumping things out, especially in the marketing department, and you don't really think to, hey, let's analyze and really see what resonated and what didn't, and kill the stuff that didn't and do more of the stuff that did. So it's pretty simplistic sometimes when you're thinking that way, but if we've got to take the time to actually analyze it.
Yeah, look at planning, it, you know, do some review.
That's right.
Should be part of every process. It's very hard, though. Because you're like, no, we don't have time for review. We got to get this crap up. Now, I will say, though, because, you know, like you said, marketing is always cranking out content. I do think there's a big difference between that kind of front-end cold content, you could say, like it's just going to whoever, and then your warm content, which is stuff that you need for that, you know, maybe 6 months of follow-up. And the problem with that is that the metrics could be skewed, because if it's like, hey, we're going with our top, you know, viewed videos, and it's like the really basic videos that are going out to everybody and they're, you know, appeal to everybody versus the warm people, you know, it might be a one-off video that you made. So do you have a way of kind of identifying, or maybe salespeople identifying, like, this was a good piece of content? I know the stats don't support me saying this, but this video got me deals.
I think the thing that needs to happen is marketing needs to be direct to sales and say, which pieces of collateral, which videos are you sharing, which ones are you using in your sales process? Because salespeople are individualistic, and a lot of times one will use one thing and another person will use another thing. And so if the marketing team can understand which pieces are actually being utilized in the sales process, that can be helpful. I was just thinking of another thing that marketing can do. I mean, the disconnect from marketing to sales in a lot of cases is, A, did our leads actually generate revenue? B, if they did generate revenue, how did that process go? Like, what was the experience like for the salesperson and the customer? And then the final thing is, marketing would love a testimonial.
Like, oh, yeah.
The disconnect sometimes from sales is on to the next.
Yeah,
next opportunity. Right. And so, you know, I get the contract signed and hand it to customer success and then kind of forget about it. Well, the sales team needs to be taught how to ask for the testimonial, how marketing can support in that, because social proof, that stuff is so strong. If you can get a video, that's gold. A written testimonial with a headshot is perfect as well. But a lot of times that's lost on jobs that we actually want. And so I think there can be more synergy from the sales team back to marketing to be able to provide that information.
I like that. No, but I also know that, you know, salespeople are really busy. You're already generating a bunch of information just to report your sales.
Yeah.
What do you think is a good cadence for that? Like quarterly, like, hey guys, we're having the quarterly marketing sales integration meeting. Everybody come with your ideas and whatever, and then try to collect the testimonials? Or have you seen a good cadence for that kind of communication?
It depends upon the size of the team. You know, sometimes it can be at the monthly sales meetings, but quarterly would be great for marketing to give an update to sales. Hey, here's what we've been working on. Here's the projects, the campaigns we've been executing on. Here's the data from the past ones that we just finished. Give us some feedback. Did you see success through this? We showed some good lead generation, but we want to understand, are they quality in your mind, right? And so you get feedback that way, but then marketing has to get back from sales. Hey, here's the wins that we just occurred as a company, and here's the feedback that we're getting from the field. And so, yeah, I think the more you can do that, the better from a communication standpoint, but quarterly would be great.
Yeah, I think minimum quarterly. Yeah, I was just thinking, sometimes you look at materials and you're like, okay, here's the materials that we generated, and here's all the features that we talk about a lot. And then you talk to sales and you're like, what do you actually, what are people interested in?
Right.
And they'll list a different set of features. And so a lot of times it's just, yeah, just talking about it. Like, hey guys, we made the new brochure and here's all the crap they put. And they're like, well, you didn't mention all this stuff. And it's, you know, because they have their, most of the time, the salespeople, since they have to answer so many questions directly with the customer, they have better information than what marketing can glean just from, you know, statistics and even results from the marketing campaigns. Even polling, you know, salespeople will know a lot more a lot of times.
Yeah, and it's important for leadership in those meetings to understand, you know, marketing might be incentivized on impressions. Well, sales could care less on impressions if it doesn't lead to a deal. And so understanding the metrics that each one is, you know, how they're incentivized, and then trying to mesh those together to where the entire team wins and everybody feels like they're an intricate part of it instead of these, you know, silos that might be odds that's just based on how they're incentivized.
Yeah, that's, I love that. That actually makes a lot more sense than, because you're right, it is a battle. It's like, no, we think this is what we're selling. And they're like, no, we're, you know, there's what we're selling over on the sales team. And most of the time what you have is one is dominant over the other. And then one's just kind of complying with whatever the other one says. So, well, thanks a lot, Mike. This has been a ton of fun again. I think, you know, using these tips, you could really, you know, it's more than just, hey, you're supporting the first or the fourth quarter. It's, you know, kind of a long-term effect that we can improve the relationship between those two departments. Everybody will be happier. You'll get better results. And at the end of the day, the business owner or CEO will be like, great. I don't care how you guys work together. Just figure it out.
Right. Absolutely. Get deals done.
Awesome. So where can people find out more about you?
Yeah. So you can reach me at austinsalesconsulting.com. And on LinkedIn, it's Mike Chudy. So
awesome. Well, thanks again, Mike. Appreciate you coming in to the studio. If you are listening, you can check out our YouTube channel. We'll have this posted there. And thank you for listening. We appreciate everything you do. If you have any questions for Mike, go ahead and list them in the comments. And we'll make sure to get back to you as soon as we can.
This is Digital Marketer.
Get ready for the two easiest ways for you to generate product photos for your e-commerce store. I'm Lauren Petrullo, founder and CEO of Mongoose Media and Digital Marketer Academy faculty member. I've managed over 50,000 SKUs for over 100 different e-commerce sites, and I cannot tell you the importance of quality product photos. Not only are they important for your website, but they're great to be repurposed in your email marketing campaigns, your paid ad initiatives, and your organic social media content. It's imperative that you have great photos because great photos sell your products and start conversations with your consumers. There are two great solutions when seeking out quality product photos for your e-commerce site. One, UGC. We know that native user-generated content wins all day on social. When you can get your customers to share back their use of your products in their voice, in their personal applications, you will see dividends when that is repurposed in your paid ads and organic social feeds. Secondly, don't have customers or UGC yet? Not a problem. There are cost-effective solutions in which you can outsource that photography. This and so much more is covered in my modules in our e-commerce cert with Digital Marketer.